Friday, February 18th, 2011.
Hold my people in the front, in the noise blade section. This is for the headshots, not in the mix. My people in the front, confidence bed. Batters in the box, top of the pitch. Hilltop, plug, joke, hop in his bitch. And we got funk leaders, punk to gun beaters. Bump, bump, meters, who drunk, he jumps, meters. Jump with us, down the front, if it's a flavor. Your flavor, come get drunk with us. All my people wear this line, turned up in the noise line. By now I should have had some land, some money in my hand. This is for the headset, but I'm in the mix. My people in the front, all confidence bare. Banners in the box, on top of the pitch. Hilltop, hood, joke, up in his bitch. And we the funk leaders, punks, you can't beat us. We bump and pump meters, who drunk, you jump meters. Jump with us, down the front, if it's a flavor. Your flavor, come get drunk with us. This life turned out nothing like I
Hello everybody and welcome to episode number 17 of the Boxcast. Of course, I'm your host, Dakota Schmidt, and alongside me this week is Mr. Abraham Jerozitsky. Abe, how are you tonight?
Pretty good.
Yeah. We haven't done a Brewers Fever Boxcast for a while, and since then, a little team called the Green Bay Packers did win a Super Bowl. Right, Abe?
Anonymous sources told me this, but I have not been able to confirm.
Yeah. Of course, Packers did win the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers, MVP. Nobody cares about Brett Favre anymore. All that talk is basically done. But the Bucks have been struggling. And because of the fact that we haven't done a show in about a month, about 3 weeks since we have done a show, we're actually not going to recap games game by game. We're going to talk about what the Bucks have been doing in all the games and what we have to do to improve the team in both the near future and a few years down the road, I guess. I guess I can say this is the tank or not the tank episode of the Bucks. Yes, the Bucks are in deep trouble right now, and we're going to talk about that on this episode. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we're just going to talk about the Bucks. So everybody will be right back. Everybody, and welcome back, of course, to the Bucks cast. And let's talk about some Bucks. Of course, like I said in the intro, we're not going to do any game recaps because there have been long games played. But in those games, of course, the Bucks have been doing, I guess, horrible. But in my opinion, it's not the players itself on the court, it's off the court, and all the injuries that have happened. Most of the players have been injured, not just day-to-day, like me and Abe were talking about before we started recording, but for weeks, and I guess months. Jennings, of course, was out for a month. Salmons was out. You know, McGetty, Gooden, of course, is still out. You know, Bogut has been out a few games, but he's not fully healthy. He's probably going to have surgery this offseason. On that arm again, CDR has been injured. Just a lot of key role players have been hurt, and that really has shown on the court. Right, Abe?
100% agree.
Yeah. And frankly, there's been a lot of talk, both on Twitter, Facebook, all these, you know, websites, Drill Jam, about if the Bucks should tank or not. Of course, if you don't know, tanking is just basically just ending the season, not caring about the season, and going try to get as high as the draft pick as you possibly can. Before I started to talk to Abe tonight, I was pro-tanking, but then after me and him talked for a little bit, I kind of like, I'm not sure. You know, the draft is really not that good right now. I really don't see a standout player, an all-star caliber player, other maybe a Kyrie Irving, who's probably going to stay at Duke next year because of the fact that he's been injured, and there's going to be a stud next year coming in Austin Rivers, but we're not going to talk about that. But there's really not a standout all-star Kevin Durant type player in this draft.
Yeah, I just don't see that there's any humongous all-stars. You know, there's no all-NBA guys, I just don't feel like. And obviously I can be wrong. But, I mean, even you look at a guy like Jared Sullinger, I've only seen and, like, intensely watched him in the one game that he played against Wisconsin. And obviously Wisconsin is, you know, a tough team to play against just for the fact that they take the clock down to 35 seconds every time, and he's a freshman, it's a hostile environment, and all those things. And but I just wasn't that impressed with him. He didn't look like he had a ton of moves, which obviously he can refine, but at least in terms of a now, he was kind of big, but he wasn't huge, so he's probably a four. To me, he looks kind of like a Derek Favors. Guy with a good body. He's definitely has an NBA-ready body, which you always like to see because that means that he will likely make an impact as a rookie because you get that whole NBA offseason as a second-year or third-year player that you don't get as a first-year because you've been in the draft, so you have to go through all the draft training and combines and all those kinds of things. But is he a 2010 guy? I don't think so. I think he's, you know, a 16, 17, 8 guy. Which, is he terrible? No, I mean, that's a good player, but I'm thinking that's, you know, a third or fourth wheel on a very good team. So, and he's definitely not somebody who's going to, you know, stop you at the rim. He looked more than willing to play defensively, and Thad Mott is an incredible defensive coach, so you don't know how much that's affecting him, but he doesn't look like, you know, this. He's not a 2010 Carlos Boozer type. That's probably his ceiling.
And, you know, Jared Sullinger is only, you know, 18 years old, and there's big possibility that he's probably going to go to Cleveland and probably going to be the face of the franchise. And I don't think a kid like that is going to be ready in the first year, 2 or 3 years. Of course, LeBron James is ready, but I think, you know, LeBron James coming out of high school was an absolute stud. Jared Sullinger is a stud, but not. He is, of course, not at the level that LeBron James was when LeBron was a year younger than Jared Sullinger is right now. Right now, I'm on NBADraft.net. I don't know how great website that is, but I just
Draft
like to
Express
look at
better.
At Draft Express, but they haven't posted a mock draft in a while, so I'm just looking at NBADraft.net, and they have the Bucks taking Jordan Hamilton from Texas, who's a 6'7 shooting guard slash small forward, kind of like what John Stamos is in terms of height. But I really don't know what kind of player he is. I'm just gonna kind of I'll watch him, but I don't think that we're gonna have the ninth pick. I think that this team, with Skiles and Hammond, they want to make the playoffs and have people come in for playoff excitement, even though we're probably going to play like Boston, Orlando, or Miami.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that I kind of covet in the draft, if you're going to go with the tank method, which again I don't endorse, somebody I like a lot is Derek Williams out of Arizona, but seems like just like in the last couple of weeks, he's just flown up. He was kind of in the middle first round, and then he's, I mean, on this particular mock that you were referencing, he's number two, which I don't know if I buy that, but we're not going to be that high in the draft. I mean, it's almost impossible statistically for us to get that high. But I don't know if I want to take, you know, a Jordan Hamilton who, by all indications, he's not going to be this dynamite guy. And if you're going to get an above-average swingman, I mean, we've got three of those ones, those type of players already.
Hamilton, I'm looking at some of the stuff right now. He kind of seems like a, like Xavier Henry was last year. The kind of a just spot-up shooter.
Yeah, well, he's not even really a shooter, really, from all indications. He's just kind of like one of those, like, good at everything, great at nothing kind of guys.
Yeah.
And I just really don't like drafting those guys. I hate drafting those guys because those guys are guys that are very good in college because they're just so much more talented. But then when you get to the pros, you can't be good at everything unless you're LeBron James. And none of these guys are, you know, 225-pound small forwards that are 6'8 and that can jump out of a gym. They're not the physical specimen that LeBron James is. You're not going to get another, you know, LeBron James is a once-in-a-lifetime guy. You know, he's an, I think when it's all said and done, and, you know, I dislike him as much as the next guy, but you cannot deny the guy's talent. And those guys just don't come around. And that's another reason I feel kind of bad for Solinger, because he's kind of going down that LeBron James road, you know, the kind of the native son's going to come and save the franchise, but Jared Solinger's not going to be LeBron James. I think he is a pretty decent fit for them, because I'm not really sold on J.J. Hickson as a prospect, and I think Bergeau's a good player, and he's a legitimate center, and Solinger, like I said earlier, is a power forward. So that's kind of a good 4-5 combo right there. Then you got Ramon Sessions, who I've always been a fan of. So, you know, maybe Cleveland's not as far off as their record indicated. I mean, hey, they just beat the Lakers this week.
Yeah. Just yesterday, as we're recording this, but it's, like I said, you and I said before, what do you say that, what do you think that Solinger's probably going to put up in terms of stats?
I mean, he's shooting like 56% from the field this year, which is always a good sign. He's not going to sit 56% in the NBA, but, you know, at least you know that he cares about his efficiency. I haven't looked in too detail, so I don't know if he's basically just making layups, but the Big Ten is a tough big conference. They play incredible defense, you know, and it's not like a scrawny conference. You got a lot of big players in the conference, so it's not like he's just, you know, sitting on the block and just taking guys to school that are, you know, 6'6". You know, he's playing legitimate, maybe not NBA players, but certainly NBA guys with NBA size, you know, 6'11", 7-foot guys. But I think he's going to be a guy who, on pretty good efficiency, so maybe like a 54% from the field, maybe puts up like a 17-8 on good percentages.
Maybe perhaps like a Kevin Love type of player?
I'd say more offensively.
Okay.
He can also shoot, which is good.
Kevin Love.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the range of Kevin Love. I'm just talking in terms of something I really like to reference in terms of how good you are going to be as an NBA player, at least in terms of your shooting abilities, is your free throw percentage in college. Just because if you can't make an open 15-foot shot, then you're probably not going to be able to make a contested.
Look at my Monty.
Or even anything.
I even just messed up his name as I was coughing.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Yeah, sorry.
And you messed it up again.
Yeah, Lugritcher Mumayamute, there we go.
So anyway, I mean, he shoots 70% from the free throw line, which isn't great, but hey, it's better than Andrew Bogut. So, you know, he's that decent guy from there. So, I would say, you know, and also just kind of doing a rough look, he's got pretty good rebounding numbers. Didn't have such a good game against Michigan State. You know, but, you know, you look at his last three games before that, at Wisconsin, at Minnesota, that was with huge front lines. He put up 13 rebounds, 12 rebounds. So, the guy can rebound. He also has a lot of other double-digit rebound totals in there. So, I think maybe kind of like an Elton Brand guy.
Okay.
Maybe not as much protecting the rim. Only half a block a game.
He's only 18.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he can improve, but I think, like, staples of your game pretty much stay the same, except for really special guys. And I'm not sure that he's special or not. I mean, and that's just not even his talent-wise, but just in terms of, you know, his work ethic and those kinds of things. Because, I mean, those things sound really cliche, but, I mean, all the guys in the NBA are talented. It's, you know, the guys that are either freakishly athletic or put in those hours in the gym and want to get better. And I think that's the good thing about the kind of the new NBA is these guys seem to care a lot more than the guys that got max deals, you know, in the early this decade, you know, the Allen Iversons and Vin Baker, that was
Ruben
in the 90s.
Patterson.
Ruben Patterson, you know, I mean, off we got, you know.
The 2001 edition of the Portland Trail Blazers, basically.
Yeah, the Trail Blazers, basically. You know, Tim Thomas, Anthony Mason, you know, those guys are few and far between the NBA now, so it's even getting more harder. It's getting even more hard to show yourself past that because so many of the other players who are maybe not all-stars, but certainly good players are showing their abilities, and not only that, but they're also just working at it. You know, they're getting better. They're adding elements to their game, and that just makes the product that much more watchable.
Oh, yeah, certainly. So you don't see anybody that stands out to you as a top-notch player, but we still haven't had the conference tournaments, and of course the NCAA tournaments were only in mid-February, but not a lot is going to change, really. Of course, we're still in the Jimmer Fredette frenzy in college basketball, and I don't think he's really going to stand out as an NBA type of player. I think he's just a big-time college guy that's probably going to be like a nice sixth or seventh man off the bench.
Yeah, I think he... I mean, I don't know. I mean, this sounds really kind of cliche, too, because he's white. I'm going to compare him to a white player, but he seems kind of like a J.J. Redick, who's kind of athleticism. I mean, I know he's had his ankles broken like 3 times in the last week, so this is not exactly... certainly gives effort on defense. He kind of fits in well with the team concept. He's not as good at catch and shoot as J.J. Redick. Jimmer has more of a kind of isolation mentality, so I think he can work out in the NBA. He's not going to average 20 points, but kind of like a Ray Allen, late Ray Allen kind of guy.
Mm-hmm. 2007, like when he was in Seattle maybe? Or
no, probably more like a Boston guy, a guy who's going to average like 18 points, shooting pretty well for a two-guard, but more like the Ray Allen who can score off isolations in Seattle, but just not with those notes. Like, Ray Allen's game from 2004, but his statistics from 2009.
Right. And really nobody stands out in the second round because we had 2 picks in the second round. Of course, we got the pick in the John Salmons trade, and I'm not seeing guys that really stand out. Maybe a hometown boy. Of course, he didn't grow up in Wisconsin, but of course, he goes to school in Wisconsin, John Lure. Of course, we have a plethora of power forwards right now on the team. I really don't see anybody that stands out. It's,
well, I do think somebody I'd like to see taken in our second round picks. Let's see, what do we have? We have 39, but that's just because that's 9. What else do we have? What's our other one?
We have the Chicago pick.
I thought we got that last year.
Well, so we had the 2010 first round. We're getting a pick in 2011. It says right here, Bucks. See if the Bulls 2011 second round pick. Right now, that's the 56th pick.
Yeah, that's garbage. Well, somebody I'd kind of like to take, and again, I don't know, go with the hometown guy.
Jordan Taylor?
No, I don't think he'll come out. I think he certainly could come out,
yeah.
But I think Jimmy Butler would be a kind of a guy I'd like, because I like in the second round to kind of just take role players. because I think that boom and bust guys in the second round are generally guys who in college didn't work hard, and you're kind of trying to, you know, guys like Hassan Whiteside, guys who could throw up 22 and 13, but are most likely going to be beating up, you know, be beating up people on the street and going Pac-Man Jones style, you know. So I just don't, those guys aren't good investments. But if you can get like a guy like, you know, Luke Richard, you know, on a 4-year deal at the minimum salary, you know, those guys pay off in the end. So a guy like Jimmy Butler who can, he's got range. I wouldn't say he's an excellent 3-point shooter, but he can kind of knock, he can keep a defense honest. Kind of a good junkyard dog type of guy. And I kind of like taking those kind of guys because they also push the other people. You know, they make them work for the minutes, and especially on a Skiles team that has to kind of keep the rest of the guys honest by putting in a legitimate guy to kind of take over some minutes. But another thing, I think we really need a backup point guard or a center. So just somebody, a project with size. I know we took that with Sanders last year, but I don't really think he profiles as a center. But somebody who can, like, legitimately come in, not John Brockman, somebody who can legitimately come in, you know, for 15 minutes or even, like, a 20 to 25 if Andrew Bogut gets in foul trouble. And I don't know if you're going to get those guys from the draft, but I guess somebody like that I would be in favor of. I don't know if I'd like John Lewis just because he seems kind of timid to me as a Badger fan. So, I mean, he's at NBA range, but I feel like he's kind of like Ersan Ilyasova, and we already have one of those.
I'm probably, I know one of the big names that everybody's talking about right now is Kenneth Faried, but looks like a mid-first round guy. Just got it. Just basically rebounds. Just likes the bane bodies across the in the post, and just of course just go out there and get to the boards. Well, he's looking like a mid first round guy. I really don't see any like big time like center types in the early mid second round. Of course, we had the 39th pick, and right now some players that I see are Keith Benson, maybe, but he's from Oakland. Nobody knows about him. John Lewis, like you said, he is like an Ersan Ilyasova type. He gets those rebounds, but he is kind of timid and just likes to stay, like, you know, by the perimeter sometimes. And I really don't see anybody. Maybe we could trade some picks to get him made a first round pick, but I'm not really that sure about that.
You also don't want to sacrifice a ton of assets to get a guy who's going to play 15 to 20 minutes in the worst-case scenario. I mean, that's why you're paying Andrew Bogut $12 million. So even if you've got a guy who can play legitimate defense at the five for, you know, 15 minutes a game, kind of like a Kwame Brown type of guy, I think that's one of the reasons we also signed Drew Gooden, who can't play center. But that's another argument for another day.
Yeah.
But I mean, anybody to get John Brockman on the healthy scratch list, I'd be in favor of. I don't know if we draft him or pick up a guy, you know, for $2 million. I mean, and you see in the off seasons that those center guys just keep knocking around the league. Guys like Kwame Brown, Craig Thomas, they sign for nothing, and they're not great guys, they're not starter guys, but they just for some reason don't get any money, and they have value, you know, those defensive only guys.
Yeah, and I'm looking around, like, this draft like seems to be a backcourt kind of draft. It really does.
And switchables. I mean, you got Terrence Jones, Perry Jones, who are both kind of perimeter guys. Derek Williams, who I'm a huge fan of.
What I like in the second round, though?
I don't know, because the second round, in me, there's like three types of second round picks. You got guys who, like I mentioned earlier, guys who should have done more in college but didn't for whatever reason. So you got like guys like Renardo Sidney, who will probably be in the second round just because he's got a humongous character issue. You've got guys who are going to be role players in the NBA that were good college players, guys probably like John Lewis, guys like Juwan Johnson of Purdue, those kind of guys who, you know, put up good numbers in college and, you know, hopefully teams are banking on them to work their way kind of into the rotation as guys. And then you got European guys.
Or another, I guess another category that seems to be more apparent in this particular draft than normal is kind of like small school guys who put up a bunch of numbers but maybe don't have the size of a guy like a Jimmer Fredette.
And second round, like you said, just basically, I'm for like getting a guy like Keith Benson, who right now, even though he plays at Oakland, he is averaging 17.4 points and 10 rebounds. That's probably not going to go to the NBA, and those rebound numbers don't look that good for a guy that's 6'11 and is playing at a small school like Oakland. But just somebody that can be a backup center. I like to have a young guy as a backup center or a guy with a ton of experience. I don't like a middle-of-the-road guy in, like, Kwame Brown. I just want somebody with experience, like what Kurt Thomas gave us last season.
Well, the good thing about those small school guys is that even though they play, you know, majority of their games are conference games, which is also against poor competition, that a lot of those guys play games against major conference teams, you know, in November and December. So, in Keith Benson's particular case, he played against West Virginia, played against Purdue, he played against Illinois, he played against Michigan State, he played against Tennessee, he played against Michigan, played against Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Okay. His points in those games, West Virginia, 22, Purdue, 16, Illinois, 11, 2 of 9. Michigan State, 17. Tennessee, 26. Ohio State, 8. Rebounds, which is really jumps off the page. 15 at West Virginia. 14 at Purdue. 7 at Illinois. 12 at Michigan State. 10 at Ohio State. So, you know, the guy has some skills. Another thing I like to look at is offensive rebounds, because that's more getting positions. I mean, there's a lot of guys who can just gather up defensive rebounds just because there's nobody else on the team that gets rebounds.
Yeah, he just averaged 7 offensive rebounds a game.
Which, I mean, isn't terrible. I mean, it's solid. He had 8 offensive rebounds against West Virginia. I mean, that's obviously a huge number. 5 against Purdue. Illinois, he had 3. Ohio State, he had 3. So, I mean, he's a decent rebounder. He looks to be an above-average rebounder. The blocks seem to be there, average-wise. I mean, average is 3.8. 1 at Ohio State, 2 at West Virginia, 2 at Purdue. So he looks like, you know, a block-and-change guy in the pros, which, you know, you get a guy. And he looks to me kind of like an 8-and-8 guy.
Which, as a backup center, that's not that bad.
Hey, I mean, Mark Cuban paid that guy $9 million a year over 5 years, so.
Eric Dampier.
That other guy named Brendan Haywood.
Yeah.
Tyson Chandler, he's paying $12 million this year.
Well, I wouldn't mind us drafting like Keith Benson in the early second round. Just backup center, a guy that can, you know, get offensive rebounds, get blocks, score a little bit. 10 minutes, you know, about like 5 points, 5 rebounds, second player. You know? He is going to be 23 next year, but he is not going to be like, we're not drafting like 3rd overall like Minnesota did with Wes Matthews. He is a second round guy. He is a bench player. He is a role player. And I think that he could be a nice, I haven't seen him play, but I looked at stats, I hear what you were talking about. I think he can be a nice backup center in the future if we do draft this guy.
The one reason that he's in the second round is because he's 225 pounds listed. So
that's kind of small for a 6'11 guy.
Yeah, that's not too great. His free throw percentage, 66. That's probably a negative.
Yeah.
A lot of turnovers. Never like to see that. Although 2 turnovers isn't a ton. 1 assist, but that's going to be so compartmentalized. So, yeah, looks like a decent guy.
Yeah, just the guy that you can watch. If Oakland does make the tournaments, just watch that team a little bit. when they're on ESPN, ESPN2, in March. Just keep an eye on Keith Benson. I think they can be a nice prospect for the future, right, Abe?
Yeah, I mean he's never gonna be an All Star most likely, but
No,
he can be a helpful guy to a team. And
just like I said, just a few moments ago, 10 minutes, 5 rebounds, 5 points, that kind of guy.
And especially a team like the Bucks, you got to get guys like that. Guys like DeJuan Blair for San Antonio. He's not a top 4 guy, but he certainly helps, creates possessions, rebounds. Those types of guys are very valuable, especially on a team that's got guys like John Salmons and Corey Maggette and Brandon Jennings taking a lot of shots.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at that's a thing I'd rather, three is basically a beast on the boards, but I'd rather have Benson at 39 and Fried at trading up for a guy like Fried at 17. I know that Fried is a beast on the boards, but other than that, I'm not really sure about him. Never seen him play. Morehead State's ever on TV, so it's Oakland, but looking at the stats right now, I would like to have Benson at 39, right? At 39. And we have a pick of 56, but that can go either way. Just made a guy that can shoot. That's it, just shoot.
God knows we need a shooter.
Yes. Yeah, when Delfino's Salmons has been looking good though in the past few games, so let's actually talk about the last few games. For the Bucks, we'll talk about the NBA draft. We'll have maybe some guy from DraftExpress.com on, or some other draft website on another day, a little bit closer to the draft. So let's actually talk about some real NBA Bucks basketball.
What? We have to.
Yeah, this is the Bucks cast. We have to. Other than injuries, what has been going on for the Bucks?
Can't put the ball in the hole. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, injuries are part of that too, but I mean, you got to look a little bit at Skiles. I mean, he's never been better than 20 in offensive efficiency, so he's obviously not a master general of offense. I mean, I think in an NFL situation, you would keep him on and hire a offensive coordinator to take the play calling away, but I don't think that works in the NBA. It's too, it's not as bipolar, The same guys play offense and defense. And, there's one coach who makes split-second decisions, and it's not as cut and dry. You don't have 3-4 downs, those kinds of things. So I don't think that can work in the NBA. Especially in a guy in Skiles who really seems to demand kind of full commitment, full control. So I think scheme plays a part of it. You can't look past injuries, though. I think injuries probably number one. I think also kind of just minute distributions. And John Brockman's your backup center. He obviously has no offensive game.
Not really much defensive game, but... Yeah, he really has no game in general.
Yeah, well. People and that's injuries too. I mean, injury plays a part in that. Guys, everyone having a down year in their career. Corey Maggette shooting like what?
In the Nuggets, I think we only had 8 guys active.
Yeah, and I mean, that plays a toll on you, and not all 8 of those guys. I mean, Andrew Bogut's been active for all these games, but there's no way with a straight face you can tell me that he's 100%. I mean, the guy is playing with one arm. It's so obvious that anybody who doesn't say that just is hating on him. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to say it.
And the crazy thing is he's still got 20 rebounds, I guess, against a nice, center like a...
No, I mean, that's very valuable. I mean, I don't know. I mean... I think Real GM's a great site, but those guys are so bipolar. I don't know how they live with themselves and don't, go nuts and all that kind of stuff because they're so you know, off the wall and so...
Charkosov!
He's actually probably one of the most reasonable guys, but, I mean, comparing Andrew Bogut to Ben Wallace, I mean, come on. I mean, just look at his, you know, statistics. I mean, his shooting percentage is like 54, 56, 58, 60, 58, 49. Which of these is not like the others? I mean, free throw percentage is probably like something, you know, off the top of my head, like 63, 68, 70, 64, 49. Which of these is not like the others?
I remember that I said before the season, I think people were comparing the 2010-11 Bucks to the 1988-89 Pistons.
Yeah, and we went from the Bad Boy Pistons to, you know, the Clippers East in, what, 2 months? I mean, I don't know.
I think there's some people on there that'd rather have the T-Wolves roster right now than Bucks roster.
Yeah, let's get a bunch of career losers and Luke Ridner and trade him for a bunch of guys who are hurt.
I actually wouldn't mind having Ridner back.
Oh, I don't know. I think that Luke Ridner wanted to play more minutes, and he made the right decision if he wants to play more minutes. Johnny Flynn's garbage. That whole team's pretty much garbage, except for Darko.
Except for who?
Darko.
Are you serious?
I mean, he's decent.
You think Kevin Love is garbage?
Nah, just kidding. Kevin Love's good. Darko is decent. Everyone else is average or worse. There's a reason they've got... Geez, I don't even know. What, they got like 14 wins?
13, yeah. Second pick right now behind Clayman, who probably is going to be... probably going to do better, because right now they did just beat the top team. One of the top teams in the NBA. I know LA has been struggling, but it's still the Lakers. And the Cavs are still the Cavs without LeBron. And without Vergil. And let's actually talk about the Cavs for a second. Let's actually take a break from Bucks. I know this is the Bucks cast. Of course the Cavs are going to be sellers. But do you think that they're actually going to... of course, they want to trade both Jameson and Williams. Same chance that they would. Well,
I mean, I saw something that the Hornets wanted Anton Jameson, but why?
Yeah.
I mean, it's moves like trading for Mo Williams and Anton Jameson that partly caused LeBron James to leave because those guys are garbage, and they're, you know, trying to fill a pothole over a sinkhole. Mm-hmm. It's not legitimate. It's not a legitimate roster construction. I mean, they're stopgaps, and they're overpaid, and they're terrible, and then what happens 3 years later? You know, the guys fall off cliffs. And that's why the Cavs are 10-46. And hadn't won a game in regulation since November. Until they won, you know, last night. I mean, I didn't expect them to be that bad. I thought maybe they'd win, you know, 36 games or so, and injuries have played a part in that, too. But, I mean, I remember when they were playing the Bucks, you just like, oh my god, I mean, they're suiting up Manny Harris, Christian Ianga. I mean, these are the only guys that I've ever heard of because I'm in the 16-team keeper league. I mean, these guys are nobodies.
Is that the same 16-team keeper league that kicked me out because I wasn't doing anything?
Yeah, it's the same one, and I think I'm in 12th because I probably had the worst possible draft anybody in the history of the world could have ever done. And my girlfriend's in 4th.
And I think she had Timothy Moskov in that draft for some reason. But let's not talk about fantasy basketball. The Cavs are in deep trouble because I don't see any team trading Williams and Jameson. If they do, they're lucky. They're really lucky. You know?
Well, that's the thing. NBA general managers are morons. And there's no other way to put it. I mean, you look at Major League Baseball,
There's a lot of guys who know what they're doing, and there's about five guys who have no idea how to do anything. I mean, baseball general managers know what they're doing. Football general managers, there's about 15 of them who have any clue. The rest of the other 15 are complete idiots. But NBA general managers, I mean, there's what, maybe 10 guys who have a clue? There's, you know, five guys who just completely destroy everybody else. There's 15 guys who have no business even being in basketball ever, and they're running these
what
teams.
What category do you put Hammond in?
Hammond has a clue. I think he's good at trading. I think he's made very good trades. They need a new scouting department. And their drafting is terrible. Mm-hmm. I mean, anybody who drafts Drew Alexander in the top 10. Yeah. I mean, you've got to fire at least two scouts after that.
Yeah.
I mean, how does that even happen? I mean, things are not good when you can go on do a quick Google search, look on a couple third party websites. And when, you know, most years you come out with a better pick. And I personally would not have drafted Brandon Jennings. I would have drafted DeJuan Blair. Now, after a year and a year and two-thirds, DeJuan Blair is a better player. Now, I don't even think he has any ACLs. And I think Brandon Jennings will get better. I think Jennings kind of underestimated how much work he had to put in this summer, and I think he will get back in the gym. Get more back to where he was, and I think he'll have an incredible third year, because remember, he would be a senior in college.
And I think he'd actually be a junior.
No, because he played that year in Europe.
Oh, okay.
So he'd be a junior this year, but I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't blame you if he kind of just eliminated the year in Europe, because I don't really think he gained a ton in his game in Europe. I think he kind of went from a boy to a man, but I don't really think he improved significantly in his basketball game. If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I think this is the year that he does improve in the offseason. I think that, you know, the advertising, all the marketing or whatever are going to go away because of the fact that Jennings and the Bucks have been, you know, been doing, you know, pretty bad on, like, last season. And I do think that Jennings is going to have time just to work in the game.
I sure hope so. I mean, let's face it. I mean, guys like Bogut, who's not going anywhere, really nobody on our team is really tradable because...
Oh, no, don't tell that to me.
No, I mean, everybody's tradable. But I mean, in the sense that I misspoke. Anybody that you trade, you're going to be selling low on. And the whole idea of selling high, buying low doesn't exist in sports. But I mean, Corey McGetty's. There was a reason we traded Dan Gazzarich and Charlie Bell for him. There's a reason Drew Gooden's been on eight different teams. There's a reason John Salmons was traded for. Geez, like, oof. Hakeem Warrick, we even got a pick flip, and Joe Alexander. And there's a reason those things happen. I don't think those guys are bad players, but they've all, you know, if their stock has all gone down. So, are they tradable? Yes, but the problem is you're going to be trading those. You're most likely going to be making a lateral move.
Who get in those trades?
I mean, those guys are talented guys. I mean, I don't think you and really are going to improve your talent that much with those guys. I mean, I think you could certainly trade them, but is it going to be a positive trade? Probably not. I mean, everybody in the NBA is tradable. That's just how the league is. And the guys with the two worst contracts got switched for each other this year. That's just how this league works. Oh, let me take your bucket of garbage. So, I mean, I guess the draft is a way to infuse that talent, but I don't know that I have confidence that John Hammond will replenish the system. I mean, he basically wasted two of the three second-round picks last year.
Actually,
I don't,
three.
Well, Darrington Hobson, but, I mean, if you follow him on Twitter, I mean, the guy's obviously got a gentleman's agreement with the Bucks. I mean, I've even seen him delete some of his tweets. I mean, he's...
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that he'll be back next year when Red's gone.
But he's not exactly a class act. Hobson,
ew,
is it? Hobson.
Why?
Just. Nah, I'm not gonna go there. What else are we gonna talk about associated with the books? Like you said before, you'd rather have taken Blair over Jennings. Talking a little bit about that.
I don't know. I just looked at Dwan Blair, and I expected him to be what he is. Basically, you knew what you were getting from him.
Yeah.
And I think that a guy with no knees, I mean, most guys that you take in the first round are only going to be with your
no
team.
Knees. Are you talking about no ACL? Because if he had no knees and he was doing what he's doing, that's really impressive if he didn't have any knees.
Yeah, he's actually in a wheelchair. That makes it
really paraplegic. And he still puts up double doubles in the NBA.
Yeah.
That's a Lifetime story right there.
A Lifetime original movie.
The man with no knees.
Blessed with no first names. Coming from a multiracial background. And going to Pittsburgh University.
Alright. So...
I'm trying to remember what I liked in the Joe Alexander draft. I really liked Eric Gordon, but he went a pick earlier. What was that, 2007? I liked Hibbert. I didn't think Hibbert would be as good because he was always kind of a robot at Georgetown.
I think that was 2000. Well, I'm having a brain fart right now.
Was it 8?
I think 2008, yeah. 2008, that's the same year we got Luke Richard.
Yeah, it was 2008. I kind of like DJ Augustine, but I didn't think he was a starting point guard.
He has been decent with Charlotte, but...
Yeah, he's been good the last month or two. Larry Usher's and Larry Brown's doghouse. Yeah, I like Hibbert a lot. I didn't really like that many people in that draft. That was
terrible. Brook Lopez, but we already...
Yeah, I never liked Drew Lopez. Brook Lopez. He was never a good rebounder in college, and why do you think he's not a good rebounder in the NBA? I mean, if you're 7'1" and you can't rebound in college, you're gonna rebound in the pros? No, you're not.
But
I don't know. I guess I liked Hibbert. I liked Ryan Anderson, but he never would be picked there. I never heard of Serge Ibaka or Nick Batum or George Hill. So I can't say that. Who else? Let's see.
But we're still recording. Let's actually not delve into the 2008 draft. The man, the myth, the legend, former Buckscast guest, Mr. Joe Alexander. Let's talk about what exactly are we going to do in the future. What is there to do?
Well, I think Red will walk.
Yeah,
so there's 18 million. I think that we'll probably look. I would look at extending Jennings, to be honest, because they can get him on a better deal. He's not going to get Mike Conley money anymore like he probably would have if he would have had a serviceable year this year.
What are you talking about?
Brandon Jennings.
Okay. Let him extend him or... Sorry.
Yeah, I'd try. Just, I mean, you know, pick around a little bit, see what him and his agent are thinking. You know, maybe with the lockout, they will, you know, take a deal below market value.
You think that there's going to be a lockout?
In the NBA, I think there will. I think it will go deeper than in the NFL. I think that there's serious problems in the NBA, but I don't know if the Overman's game is because of.
Does it have anything to do with Mr. Davidson?
Well, certainly, but I don't think nothing like on purpose or anything. I just think that in football, the owners are getting taken to the house more than they would like, and I think that the owners are just stupid in the NBA, and the economic model obviously isn't working, but I think players in the NBA are much more likely to give in December and just take all their money back because it's all gone in the NFL. Mm-hmm.
But if it is the worst case scenario and there is lagged off for the entire season, in the long run, that would not be horrible for the Bucks. Two drafts.
I guess you get two bad draft picks, or two high draft picks. I don't know.
Gooden and Solomon's and Benghetti's contracts lasting a little bit because of 2 years.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't know. I hate doing that though, because I still think we're gonna make the playoffs.
No.
I have no logical reason to say that except that we're 5 games off our pace from last year.
But in the NBA, 5 games is a lot though.
I guess.
If we do make a run, which we've been hoping since about December, if we do make a run, and we're only, 7, 6 games behind the Knicks for 6th seed.
Yeah, 7 in the win column, 8 in the loss column, so 7.5. I mean, we can make some noise. I think I've said that on every single thing, because it's sad.
Christmas.
I mean, the Knicks, I think the Knicks are going to fall. I don't think the Knicks are going to make the playoffs, and I've been saying that for a while.
Really? Really?
How? Yeah, I don't think they'll make the playoffs, because I think Amari's going to go down in March, March 2nd or March 3rd, and just
You're predicting the date, you're Nostradamus.
Yeah. There we go. I think he's going to miss about 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, he's been playing too many minutes. Raymond Felton's shot. There's no depth on that team. I think the Carmelo stuff is getting to them. I just don't think they're that good. I don't think they're good. And I think D'Antoni's system just destroys those players, and they don't have a deep team, so it makes it even worse. And you got a team like Indiana, who's been really resurgent. Philadelphia is always high on, who is now 7. I think they'll get past because they have a good team. Charlotte and Indiana are kind of both in the same bracket to me. One of those teams is going to make the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, and the Bobcats have been kind of being resurging with Paul Silas.
They've kind of fallen off a little bit in the very near future, but kind of in the grand scheme of things. I mean, Silas got an extension, so I should tell you. I think Indiana's won, 7 of 9, and their only 2 losses are to the Heat. And then you got the good old Bucks there, who are pathetically only a game ahead of the Pistons.
Which is kind of...
God, that makes me feel terrible. I don't know. And then you can always think of that as, I felt the same way about the Brewers last year. That I didn't know that we'd make the playoffs last year, but I thought we'd make a run. And it never happened. We never had, 1-7 of 8 or
But the whatever. Thing is, we were hoping that we'd get a lot of wins in this easy schedule, and we haven't.
Yeah, that didn't work out too well.
Yeah. Remember in the last episode, a while back ago, we were talking about the easy schedule, and we're like, okay, we're probably going to go on a big run. And where's that run?
We still got time, but I don't know. Well, I think the worst part is we've been terrible at home compared to where we need to be a good team. We're 500 at home. I mean, yeah, we're 8-21 on the road, but I don't know. We need to our home field advantage is gone. Doesn't exist anymore.
It did exist.
I mean, last year we were good at home.
Those were different days back then. It's a new team.
God, this team. I remember because game was on the last game against the Nuggets was on ESPN. I think that was the first time I'd heard Fear the Deer in 3 months.
God.
Seems like 5 years ago.
Oh my god.
Like RIP FTD, is that that quick that the deer is dead?
I've been saying that since December. Yeah. Why do you fear the deer? We're below 500, we're 13, 14 games below 500. There's nothing to fear. The only thing that we fear is ourselves.
We fear shooting percentage of 36% every year.
We fear getting the ball into the hoop. That's what we fear, basically. Nobody fears us anymore. Nobody. We're just another team. you know? With nice defense. That's it. Don't be fierce to the air anymore.
We're a team that a playoff team looks at and says, oh man, we actually have to kind of try tonight because you know that we're going to get a good game from them.
Yeah. Like in the Denver game. When you're thinking, hey, we're probably going to win, and then we did it because we're dogs. Yeah, the only thing else to say, I guess we can all wrap up this this episode.
Nope.
Nothing to say? So, do some
fun. Abe the deer.
Really, Abe? Really?
Bringing it back.
Oh, no.
Don't. Bring it back.
Fear the beer. Fear the beer. There we go. Brewers, baby. Let's hop with that on the Brewers Fever, which will be coming pretty soon. We haven't done a podcast in a long time, but Buccast, of course, this time, and Brewers pretty shortly, because there are some Brewers out there we can talk about. You know? So I guess that wraps up. Abe, do some plugging.
Twitter, GBMB34.
All right. I'll do mine, Dakota underscore Schmidt, DAKOTA underscore SCHMIDT, BucksCast@gmail.com. I'm not even going to beg anymore. Don't listen to me. Just do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. Seriously, people. BucksCast@gmail.com. That's all I'm saying. Email me if you want to. Whatever. And that basically wraps up this episode of the BucksCast. And I'm not going to say an exact date when we're going to do this, but when we do the next episode, we're probably going to have a big guest. We're probably going to have a should-be Hall of Famer, but he isn't. I'm not saying his name. Abe knows it. I know it, but not you. Not you people. Not yet. So, next time we do the show, we could have a should-be Hall of Famer. It could have played in the ABA, but I'm not going to say anything else. So, I guess you'll have to find out next time on the next episode of the BucksCast. I'm Dakota, that's Abe, and we're signing out. Goodbye, everybody.
Hmm.